Just a quick heads up that in addition to Saturday Night Live, Rich and I are going to talk about all of the late night drama with Jay Leno starting at about 58 minutes, about the last 15 minutes of the show if you want to skip ahead. Enjoy the show. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Sisterman here with another Saturday Night Live recap podcast, and we are back after a couple of weeks in timeout. Get to catch up on a lot of other stuff, and we are back here with Rich Tackenberg, SNL enthusiast and expert.
Mr. C, thank you for having me back.
Yes, welcome back, Rich, and yes, happy new SNL weekend to you.
It's good to be back. Good to be back.
Yes, very fun stuff. So we're going to talk about the Melissa McCarthy outing last night, the second time ever Melissa McCarthy has hosted an SNL.
Yes, back from... Now, have you seen her in anything since the last time she hosted SNL?
Oh, I don't watch Mike and Molly.
I do not watch Mike and Molly.
I feel like she's in like five movies that are exactly the same.
Yeah, that's true. I guess I did see her in 40-year-old. What is it? This is 40.
Okay.
So I guess I did see that.
I didn't even see that. You know, I shouldn't say five. She's in a movie with Jason Bateman and a movie with Sandra Bullock, and I can't tell which is which.
Yes. Yes. Because you confuse Jason Bateman and Sandra Bullock on a regular basis.
It just seems like Melissa McCarthy is Melissa McCarthy, and they just like, okay, let's swap out the straight person opposite Melissa McCarthy, and this is a movie.
Yes, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did not see the Jason Bateman movie.
No.
Decided to pass on that.
I don't know if anybody did.
Yeah. And I don't know about the new one, the Heat or whatever it's called, with Sandra Bullock. I know directed by Paul Feig, who I love, did Bridesmaids, but saw the trailer. Not really sure. We'll have to see.
Yeah, we will have to see. So great episode last night. Lots to talk about. If you want to subscribe to the SNL podcast, go to robhasawebsite.com/SNL podcast. And Rich and I will tell you what we liked and what we don't like and complain about stuff.
That's what we do.
Yeah. Okay. So, Rich, let's get into it. So, Melissa McCarthy back on a new SNL. And we start off with a press conference on C-SPAN, which I feel like is always dicey.
The go-to. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yes. And I feel like other than being cold opens on SNL, C-SPAN has absolutely no cultural relevance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I see an SNL and also clips on The Daily Show. That's the only two places you'll see C-SPAN.
Yeah. You get the sense that C-SPAN must be on just like 24/7 at like Studio 8H. Like they're just like waiting for like political things to happen. So they just have C-SPAN on all the time. But outside of that building, I'm not sure if anybody else has C-SPAN on ever.
Right.
So we have a Kim Jong-un cold open.
Yes. I want to say that I like this sketch. I thought it was very mediocre. I was very surprised at the choice. We've seen Bobby Moynihan, who you know I love, do Kim Jong-un before. He did him on Weekend Update. And we've seen characters like this before, but instead of having him really do the character, instead he's just talking pseudo-Korean gibberish, and Nassim Pedrad, as the translator, is doing the jokes with lower thirds of the jokes. I thought it was already kind of a touch-and-go sketch, but that choice really hurt the sketch. I think I would rather have just seen Bobby in English with a bad Korean accent actually deliver the lines. I think it would have been much funnier.
Because didn't we establish on SNL a couple of weeks ago on Weekend Update when Bobby Moynihan did Kim Jong-un that Kim Jong-un could speak English on Saturday Night Live?
Yes. Yeah, and we've seen this before. I mean, we've done many characters, you know, whether it's Gaddafi or whomever, who, you know, we all understand that would not be actually speaking another language. So, you know, we've seen this when Fred Armisen used to do Momar, whatever, the Iranian guy. They did Weekend Update. Nassim Pedrad came on as the translator, and he was talking in fake.
They also did bunch of times when Fred Armisen or is it Bill Hader does like the head of China giving the press conference, and he says, "Why don't you do sex to me?"
Yes,
I feel like we've seen that also.
Yes. No. And we just saw in Justin Timberlake, the cold open, we had Fred Armisen doing the, he was sort of kicking off the Venezuelan funeral of Hugo Chavez, and they had, he was speaking in on whatever, and Nassim Pedrad was doing the voiceover. But that was just to set up, to set up Justin Timberlake doing Elton John. So it's becoming a little bit more of a something that we're doing on SNL, and I think it's a mistake. I don't think you should try to carry punchlines in voiceover.
Now, what about the actual concept of the sketch? Because I thought it started off pretty clever. Mm-hmm. I liked that Kim Jong-un has gone ahead and is now in favor of gay marriage. I thought that was funny, but then I felt like they didn't have, that was like a minute of a joke,
right?
And they didn't have anything else after that.
Yeah, they sort of went to his brackets, which I thought, oh, this is going to be cute, but then it kind of didn't go anywhere other that he predicted some of the upsets. And yeah, it definitely felt a little all over the place. It was the hodgepodge of what do we do to fill out a cold open.
Yeah, and they went ahead and talked about all of his sexual conquests, and that went on for
a
long
time.
That
went on way too long.
Yeah, went on way too long. So felt like it was a you know, we have this a lot, I feel like, where it's a germ of a funny idea, but not enough for a full sketch of a funny idea.
Yeah. Also, and not to pile on, felt a little toothless in, given that, you know, Korea potentially wants to fire warheads at us, whether that's ridiculous or not, like that in and of itself seems completely ripe for comedy, and to go after them is SNL tradition. And this kind of wasn't. This was like, oh, I'm announcing that we're going to scare America. And then they just went on to just other stuff. So it felt like they were dodging the comedy. I felt like they didn't tackle it head on. So that was unfortunate.
Well, then, Rich, then we raise the stakes and we bring in, you know, the Rob has a podcast, Streams Are Colliding. Here is from Celebrity Apprentice All-Stars, Dennis Rodman shows up in the sketch and to deliver the opening of the line of the show.
Now, you know him more because you watch Celebrity Apprentice. I'm confused. What is the difference between Dennis Rodman and a parody of Dennis Rodman?
There is no Dennis Rodman.
Have those collided as well?
No. There is no difference between a parody of Dennis Rodman. The difference would be the parody of Dennis Rodman. You could probably understand what he's saying more than the actual Dennis Rodman. And the parody of Dennis Rodman, you can program to do stuff. And like, for instance, say the correct lines, and a parody of Dennis Rodman will probably be more efficient than the real Dennis Rodman in whatever you need done.
Yeah, all right. That makes sense to me, having watched the real Dennis Rodman, which I thought, oh boy. I mean, you know, I'm such a stickler. I love me my cold open. Dennis, I understand Dennis Rodman's not an actor. I understand he's not a comedian. But to scream live in New York, it's Saturday night, instead of live from New York, the show's been on as long as Dennis Rodman has been alive. How does he not know that it's live from New York? That just drove me insane.
Okay, so Rich, you're saying as the project manager of SNL, you want to take Dennis to the boardroom?
Yes, I would like him out, yeah.
But Dennis, don't you think you should have said the line right? Don't you think the executives from SNL were a little upset that they didn't have the lines right? Oh, Mr. Trump, I was trapped.
And that's how Bobby Moynihan gets fired.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and then we talk about how, Dennis, I think it's great. You showed up. It was a Saturday night. You used to be drunk on a Saturday night. Don't you think it's great that Dennis was showing up on Saturday Night Live and he's sober? Isn't that good? And then, then they fire somebody else.
Nassim Pedrad suddenly out.
That's how Seth Meyers gets fired.
Got it. A little weak, little long. Not the worst cold open we've ever seen. You know, I love me the Bobby M, but okay.
Yeah.
Overall.
Luckily, slow start, but I think we go up from here.
Yeah. Now, I will say, just as we're getting into it, I watched it last night, and I was actually very critical of the episode. I was bored through most of it. Then I went back and rewatched it this morning to take a couple of notes and was actually much more like, oh, I actually like this. I like that. So
it, high expectations.
It is different. I also think there is the, I got up yesterday morning at 7:30 in the morning. I was up all day doing my things. You know, I'm up at 11:30 at night to watch the show. I've, you know, had a cocktail. I'm ready to go. Very different than watching it this morning. I'm well rested. I'm not about to go to sleep. So two different viewing experiences. But I did change my tune.
Yeah, and my viewing experience was I went to the reality rally this weekend, and I was so tired last night I went to bed before it came on. Sometimes I'll watch the East Coast feed on a Saturday night, but that's not necessarily a fun night in the Nicole Sesternino playbook.
Mm-hmm.
As much as it is for me to right. watch SNL at 8:30 on the West Coast and then be in bed before 11.
That sounds wonderful.
Yes, so I watched it. I actually watched it on Hulu this morning, which is a little tricky because then you have to go back and say, okay, what didn't make the Hulu cut?
Yes.
And then I on the DVR later, I fast forwarded to the ones that they did not make it onto Hulu. What the Hulu version was pretty much identical, except no voice sketch and no honey baked ham. So it's a
that's an odd one. Okay. Oh, I guess the honey baked ham because there's music.
Yes, but the voice. I'm not sure if that was what the reason why that couldn't make it on Hulu. I don't know if there's some parody rule of not making it onto Hulu, unless the song Melissa McCarthy sang there was a real song.
Don't mention my toot toot.
I don't know.
It could be. I don't know. I don't know. It sounded like she made up, but who knows? Yeah. All right.
So. But yeah, so that was my experience on the Hulu.
Right. Well, coming in, I will say, even last night, even being critical, coming into the monologue, I really liked it a lot. Maybe a little too long. Could have cut out a little bit in the middle, but in general, I just love the idea of mixing it up instead of the host come barreling out the door, running down, just from the first second of her coming down with those shoes and trying to get to the main stage just really made me laugh. I thought that was really inventive.
Again, I thought it was a hilarious idea, but I did feel like it was going on a little bit too long, and I felt like there was no, like it didn't escalate from there.
Yes.
You know, I felt like that they didn't keep raising the – yeah, I know Taron Killam comes out and to do the song and dance, but
– that's kind of where it lost me, because the beginning with her with the shoes, I thought it was just pitch perfect, and her grabbing Lenny Pickett's chair, and even as she's trying to make her way with the chair, trying to tell jokes, and the physical comedy of the chair sliding was great. But then once Taron starts singing a song and she's trying to dance on her knees, that was like, okay, well, now we've left even the ridiculous premise of what would happen if, and now that's just stupid. So that whole thing I kind of wanted to skip. But then when Taron is helping her back up and she was walking, I thought that was all very funny.
Yeah. So again, good idea, and just probably a little too long.
Yeah, I agree with that. Okay. I agree with that.
But like most people say about this podcast.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
Put the shoe on the other foot.
Yep.
All right. So after the monologue, we have a sketch of, you know, the big controversy, Rich. I know what a big sports fan you are.
Oh, boy, do I live and breathe it. Yeah.
Yes.
What a big sports. I love the sports.
The big college basketball guy you are. And the big controversy this week with the coach of Rutgers, Mike Rice, is that his name?
I couldn't tell you.
But I think so.
Sure.
So he was, did you see the video?
Yes, I did know of this before SNL, which is a miracle.
Yes.
So I knew of what we were parodying.
They covered it on The Daily Show?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
So they had the whole big thing about this guy. I thought this was, I really liked what they did in this sketch. I felt like it was a very funny idea, which never directly mentioned what they were parodying, but I thought it was a really good job.
Yeah, I guess maybe you liked it more than I did. I thought it was cute. I thought she was very funny. I liked that she's throwing toasters at people.
Your toast.
Your toast. I don't know. For some reason, this is one of those times where, you know, pre-taping and being able to edit really helps with pacing, so that I did thumbs up to that. I definitely noticed that. Maybe because I'm not a sports fan. I don't know. I thought it was okay. I like when she was making the team feed her dinner. She's screaming about the bread. I thought that was very funny.
Yeah.
But overall, I was like, eh, because I kind of knew about the original thing. I didn't know, like, I was waiting for it to go to a super next level. Although I will say my favorite moment, even though Jay Farrow originally complaining and then coming back with the, you know, with the banged up face and he's saying how great she is, even though that was totally predictable, when they cut to Bill Hader and we see Melissa McCarthy in the window staring at him, I thought that was beautiful. That was really good.
Yeah, I thought that was very funny. I liked her in the classroom with Bobby Moynihan as the professor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. yeah, exactly. So
yeah, so I like that, and I really love the throwing the toaster because if somebody gets past you, you're toast.
Yeah, exactly.
And she had the potato gun shooting T-shirts at people.
Oh, yes, exactly, exactly. One thing I will say about this SNL, and you could say it about many, but I definitely keyed into it. This is a couple of sketches I thought were good and then ended really poorly, and I thought this was one of them. Mm. I thought it's the, oh, and she ultimately beats up Bill Hader, and then Bill Hader saying how next week's guest is going to be a great guy, even though he, you know, harvests organs, and it just had that, like, wah, wah kind of ending to it, which we'll see a couple of times. But overall, yeah, it was definitely cute.
Yeah, I can't disagree. I felt like, yeah, it did lose a little, like, I thought the funniest part is her throwing the toaster, throwing the basketball, like, you know, cursing everybody out, and then, you know, with Jay Farrow and Bill Hader, beating them up a little bit. I did like that her record was 3-83. Something like that. That's funny.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So after that sketch, we do a parody of The Voice.
Yes. Now we're in my wheelhouse.
Okay.
Yes. I can speak to
you. Love
Voice.
The Voice.
I watch The Voice. I watch every episode.
Yes.
Love. I can't
Nicole
go there.
Nicole has gotten into The Voice this year. I haven't been watching it, but while I'm podcasting all the time, I hear Nicole often watching The Voice.
We are very much liking having Shakira and Usher over two snooze fests, CeeLo Green.
Why was CeeLo a snooze fest? I thought he's very exciting. He beats people up. And
Oh boy, CeeLo was very, very boring on that show. Yes. CeeLo didn't want to be there. CeeLo didn't want to say anything. CeeLo was very boring. So
okay.
I do not miss her, nor do I miss Ms. Aguilera on the show. So I was very excited to see we were doing a voice parody.
Yeah.
I like that I don't know if you, I wanted to ask you because you're not as big a voice fan. They were at the beginning, Taron Killam is Carson Daly, and they're clearly making fun of the fact that he kind of was lifelessly reading off the teleprompter, which I thought was cute knowing the show, but did it play for you as something, is something funny not being a big voice fan?
I didn't think it was funny. I was sort of like, oh, I get it that they're saying, you know, Carson Daly is stiff. Now, it seemed like there was a flub. As Taron Killam was doing that, was that an intent? Does Carson Daly mess up the cue, like the prompter?
Right.
You know, or did Taron Killam mess up?
Because he did it twice, actually. Yeah, and it was interesting because I thought it was a take on Carson Daly, but I couldn't think of a time Carson Daly has flubbed, like, noticeably. So
I think it was more Taron Killam made a mistake, because I think if it was a comedic mess up, I think they would have been bigger.
More hay out of it. You're probably right. Yeah. And Carson Daly is not necessarily the greatest host, but I don't remember him being bad on the teleprompter. He generally gets through it pretty well. So yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So I felt like this voice parody, did you like it as a fan of The Voice?
I liked a lot of moments within it, but it was hard because there's so much to make fun of us on The Voice, and I say that as a fan of The Voice. But the whole premise of the sketch was basically The Voice will put through anybody, mm-hmm. and here's why. And even a casual fan of The Voice will tell you, no, that's actually not true. They put through really good people, and every once in a while somebody kind of gets through because of something that doesn't quite make sense, but very rarely, and they do not take good people. So it was a weird, I thought it was a very flawed premise, so that made it hard to like the sketch.
Yeah.
But there were a lot I liked about the sketch, even though it was the whole thing was kind of weird.
I felt it was similar to the Shark Tank parody from the Kevin Hart episode, where it was like, okay, we're doing a parody of a show, and there's going to be some decent impressions of the people who are in it. But at the end of the day, it's not didn't really say anything about Shark Tank,
mm-hmm.
and I felt like that this was sort of similar. Like, and it was a parody that was done okay, but not one that was particularly biting.
Absolutely, you're right,
and very funny.
And that might be why I actually liked this sketch way more than Shark Tank, because I watch The Voice and I don't watch Shark Tank. So in this, even though I didn't think it was overall funny, there were certain things about the Adam Levine that made me laugh, and there were certain things about Usher and Shakira, but overall it didn't necessarily hold together. And maybe if I watched Shark Tank, I could say the same about those judges who I don't know from anything.
But having had Adam Levine as a host within the last 2 months...
And doing a voice parody and in his hosting, yeah.
I'm going to go back to Trump. Don't you think we have enough of the voice parodies? Don't you think we could have done it when Adam Levine was on if we needed to do a voice parody?
Well, actually, I thought that seeing Bill Hader as Adam Levine was definitely funnier than watching Adam Levine.
Yeah.
So I like that. But I would like to have seen them go after the show. And really, like when they do a Bravo parody now, you can tell the people writing the sketch are fans of the show because they get really good nuance. This was kind of like, I felt like they kind of missed the essence of The Voice, which was a shame.
Do you think that there's anything that, okay, we don't want to beat up an NBC show too bad. Has there ever, do you think in the history of SNL, has that ever been a factor where, NBC, especially in its delicate state now, The Voice is their biggest hit on the show.
Right.
I mean, maybe you'd have to go back to the days of having like a Friends or ER or Seinfeld for that's probably the most valuable property on the NBC monopoly board, correct?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So
yeah.
Do you think that there's any, any pressure from the network? Hey, don't beat up on The Voice too bad. Or do they say, hey, could you guys throw us a bone here and talk about The Voice? It's such a big show.
I'm surprised we don't have the real Blake Shelton showing up for the parody. I would think NBC is like, yes, let's go, Voice, go. I don't think that Lorne Michaels is going to be open to network notes about what to pick on or not pick on. I could see if they were continually picking on something.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say, and probably not as appropriate now, it wouldn't surprise me if NBC executives said to Lorne, don't pick on this person. I think I could see like the fact that in the last however many years, Saturday Night Live has really never gone after Jay Leno. They really never went after Christina Aguilera when she was hosting The Voice. And I could see the sensitivity game of people. So I think you might be right about that. But of the show, I would think NBC would like go crazy on The Voice, have fun with it. But I don't think that they did.
Okay. No. Anything else on The Voice?
One thing that drove me crazy, this won't make any sense to you because you don't watch the show. They made fun of the way that Usher always has his leg up,
yes.
Which is total. Every fan of The Voice would be like, as soon as you say you're doing The Voice, I know you're going to do the leg. And then Jay Farrell put his leg up in a way that Usher never does.
Hmm.
So he didn't get the body language right of the thing that you're making fun of. That drove me crazy. But other than that, I thought it was good. And I thought that Melissa McCarthy was very funny as whoever, Casey Buttersticks, they're singing her little Don't Mention My Toot Toot. I thought she did a decent job.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. Let's go into the Honey Baked Ham Bake Off.
Yes.
And Honey Baked Ham is delicious, Rich.
I am a fan. Absolutely.
Who
absolutely.
Is it?
Yeah.
Who is it?
Yeah.
So, all right. So Melissa McCarthy is, and I have to give some credit to or a lot of credit to Melissa McCarthy because she does more as a host of SNL than than you're ever used to from a host. I mean, outside of like the Justin Timberlakes of the world,
yeah.
She goes there and puts in a real week of work. She's not the straight man in anything.
Right. And to add on to what you're saying, this is, as everyone knows, Melissa McCarthy started in the Groundlings here in Los Angeles. And of the comedy troupes in Los Angeles and New York, the Groundlings are very, very focused on characters, as opposed to just improv skills and yes and building a scene in the game. They're very focused on character, outward things, inward things about character. And you can see that with McCarthy coming in because so many guest host will just be basically playing some version of themselves, or they'll be playing a nerd, or they'll be playing a woman or whatever. But McCarthy, every character, you look back and go, every character was different and was a very specific character. And I think that's very much what she brought to the show. And this was a great example. I actually had a note that this sketch felt very Groundling-like. That like someone came up with the character first and then the premise and then the execution of the premise,
mm-hmm.
to sort of go, because she did a really good job.
Yeah. So the Honey Baked Ham Bake Off, which she is entering a contest, and they said that she needed to improve her presentation
yes.
on the Honey Baked Hams. And so this is what she comes up with.
Yes. And I like that at the beginning of the sketch, we think it's going to be just sort of a classic amateur hogging the mic sketch, which we've seen in 38 years, 20 times. So I sort of thought that's where it was going. And that was pleasant and fun in itself. But then we get the big ESPN, like, are you ready for this? You know, the ham presentation with Moynihan and Taron Killam playing pigs as part of the dance special.
Yeah.
How does this rank in the sports kickoff show open kind of things?
I think pretty highly. I think very, very good job. I think that I thought that was one hell of a presentation for a ham. It could only make it more delicious to have the ham that Melissa McCarthy would be presenting. Did you think, was she messing up on the lip syncing?
I thought that was on purpose.
Okay.
I thought that they were going, if Jean Carrara is, you know, doing this presentation like they did with the trampoline at the beginning, they intentionally had her be very bad at it.
Okay.
So I thought that was, I loved that they had dubbed into the music ham, 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 and that she had it right a lot of times and then wrong sometimes. So I thought that worked. Yeah.
Did we miss a opportunity for a John Hamm cameo?
John Hamm's John Hamm. Was it John Hamm's John Hamm? Yeah, a classic callback. Yeah, yeah. I also like that, you know, Moynihan and Taron Killam did this well in that they were fully committed, but they didn't kind of, they didn't chew the scenery on this one. They kind of just played it straight, if you could, as dancing pigs can be straight, but they didn't draw attention. They didn't play big facial expressions that would have drawn attention away from Melissa McCarthy. So I thought they did a really good job too.
Okay. So, and then she comes in seventh place.
Again, it was sort of that weird. I don't know why they had the judges, because you have two cast members as judges who don't even have lines. And the whole thing sort of was just like the wah, wah, again of an ending. That was a bummer.
Yeah. How do you get out of that?
But come up with strong endings, I guess. Yeah, which sometimes you can.
I'm asking you. I'm throwing you in the writer's room, Rich. You have a good ending?
No,
no,
I don't. No, that's why I'm on this side of the podcast spectrum and not on that side. Yeah.
So then another commercial parody, or our first commercial parody, Bathroom Businessman.
This one hit a little too close to home
for me.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Basically, the idea of somebody doing work, you know, while in the bathroom. I was sort of like, I'm laughing awkwardly at this sketch.
Yes.
Yeah.
So did you think that this was not a lot to do here for Keenan tonight, but I think this was a real display. What's the right word? Showcase for Keenan here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think other cast members would have done this better, but giving it to Keenan, absolutely fine. I like the premise, and I like, speaking of endings, I do like that this actually had a very strong ending where it turns out it's all sort of a bait and switch, so that was very funny. And I like the idea that, you know, but was the fact that he actually poops in his pants, was that great? Whatever, but it was overall pretty good.
Okay, so our musical guest was Phoenix. Now, Rich, I got a lot of mail from people, emails from people, and by a lot, I mean like at least three or four messages from people that it's quite comical, and not necessarily in a funny ha-ha way, in our recaps of the episode, how little we know about music.
Yes.
And how people are screaming at their iPhones at our lack of musical knowledge. I had offers for people to come in and be a musical guest contributor even to the SNL podcast. So will you be able to redeem us this week and tell us anything about Phoenix?
Absolutely not.
Oh.
not even close. I can tell you that the last time that they were on the show was actually also the post-Easter episode from two seasons ago. And I remember the song that they had from that time. I know nothing about Phoenix.
This is the second time for Phoenix.
Yes, yes. This is their second time on the show.
Phoenix has risen back.
Exactly,
yes.
Yeah.
So how would we do that? So we don't know anything about Phoenix. I'm looking on hitfix.com, and I see that Ryan McGee, who writes a fantastic SNL recap on hitfix.com, he gave them a B for this performance. So Okay, pretty good. Right.
Yeah,
pretty good.
I guess so.
But how would we do this? So let's say if we had a musical contributor,
yes,
that told us about the musical guest. Would we talk to them at the end?
Or is it a pre-taped segment that we need to roll in at that point in the show? I'd like to have that as a conversation, though. It's a good question.
Well, we're having it now.
Yeah. No, I mean with the person.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like I think ideally, if I was going to have my druthers on how to do it, I feel like, well, we should talk about the episode and then bring in the person who could tell us about the musical guest.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
I feel like at the end of talking about the episodes, because then we would have to have two, instead of talking about it in its natural spot in the show.
Yeah.
Like, all right, so let's talk to...
Now let's go back and
so
hit the
and
music.
So
yes.
About, okay, so what did we think of Phoenix last night? It could be like, you know... A couple minutes. Tell us, okay. Actually, what Phoenix did, they did something a little different, or they were actually like, you know, this was important because whatever.
Yeah,
but we don't have that today.
Nope. So, once again, hope you like the band. Moving on. Yeah, I'm barely an SNL comedy expert. Now, music expert. That's spreading my wings too far. I can't help you there.
I could basically say if Billy Joel was the musical guest,
then I can help you. Then I can.
If Billy Joel, Bon Jovi, or maybe the Beatles were a musical guest, then I could give you some insight.
Yeah, exactly.
Into what's going on.
Exactly.
Maybe Aerosmith.
Oh, yeah, I could help with that. If Ben Folds 5 shows up for the finale, I got that one covered. Till then, I'm not your guy.
All right. So how about weekend update and a jam-packed weekend update. Ooh. Three visits on weekend update.
Yeah, three interesting visits. So were you happy to see Jacob the Bar Mitzvah boy show up again?
Now, Jacob the Bar Mitzvah boy has refreshed my memory. Has Jacob the Bar Mitzvah boy... is he normally in sketches or is he normally on update?
On update. I only think we've seen him once before, which was Gwyneth Paltrow's episode in 2011, two seasons ago, where he was actually doing his bar mitzvah.
Okay.
So we've brought that. I don't believe there's been a second time until last night. So I think this is the return of Jacob the Bar Mitzvah boy to walk us through Passover.
Yeah, I don't know why, for whatever reason, I thought that Jacob the Bar Mitzvah boy had been in a sketch before. And I wanted to know if they've ever done the crossover of taking one of these sketch characters and doing them on Weekend Update.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, because you've seen Church Lady went from Update to an actual sketch, but I don't know vice versa.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Jacob Bar Mitzvah Boy.
I like it a lot. I mean, again, this is one of the meta comedies where we're watching a comedian intentionally be not funny. And the joke is that they're not funny and just bringing up jokes about, you know, having to do your homework. I liked it a lot. I really like the chemistry between her and Seth, where Seth's trying to have a conversation and then she just looks down and keeps reading because she has no ability to ad lib, or Jacob has no ability to ad lib. So overall, I thought it was very funny.
Yeah, I always like Jacob's Yankees yarmulke. Like that's a nice touch for Jacob the Bar Mitzvah boy.
I like, for me, the nice touch is how he keeps moving his finger across the words as he's reading. That's a very nice touch for me. I like that a lot.
All right, so then we bring out Charles Barkley.
Yeah, now in you know me and Keenan, when it comes to impressions, we had seen the CeeLo impression back at the tail end of The Voice, and Charles Barkley, and I'm ready to fall asleep as soon as Keenan's doing it. But I thought this was definitely the best Charles Barkley, and for me, a highlight. Everything about the Charles Barkley appearance I thought was really funny.
He had some good lines, Charles Barkley.
I thought that was the whole idea was Wichita State. I didn't even know Wichita was a state. And then talking about how he finding out that Wichita does not have any witches in it. He bet on that.
Yeah.
That was all very funny. And I also really liked when he was talking at the end about writing his autobiography. And he says he's going to start at chapter 10 so it gets done quicker.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Like, I thought that's fantastic. And by the way, a good note for celebrities who write autobiographies. Think about the story of your life. Start at chapter 10. Start when you move to L.A. We don't really care about where you grew up and your sister and the teacher. We don't care about that. Just get to the good stuff.
Yeah.
So, but overall, I thought Charles Barkley was very funny.
Yeah. So, and then our third appearance, which is the main attraction here on the Weekend Update, Drunk Uncle returns. Drunk Uncle, is this Drunk Uncle 3 or Drunk Uncle 4?
Good question. I want to say 4. I think this is our fourth time we've seen Drunk Uncle, because I remember the first time I liked it, the second time I fell in love with it, and I couldn't stop ranting about it. Then the third time.
Drunk Uncle.
Exactly. The third time I was like, and this time I sort of thought, maybe it's time for Drunk Uncle to sober up. Maybe we've run our course with Drunk Uncle. I thought it was cute, but I was actually pretty bored through most of it.
Tonight, this one?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Feel differently?
I thought it was good. I loved the appearance of Peter Drunkledge.
Peter Drunkledge.
I thought he was very good. So I liked Drunk Uncle. Now, let me... so many things I want to talk about. You have a favorite line with Drunk Uncle?
Oh, boy. Well, the hard part is now it's really just fallen into, like, you know, Mad Libs, the Drunk Uncle Mad Libs. So we can kind of see the whole sketch coming, just sort of like, oh, he's going to have this be, you know, does this TurboTax have flax seeds? Like, oh, okay, I kind of get it. I'm trying to think, there's a couple that I, well... Yeah, nothing really made me laugh all that hard. I'm looking at that. I like when he said, you know what I'm writing off? The Next Generation. That kind of made me laugh. Or when it suddenly went, yeah, I watched The Client List. This is very silly. And it just like, Snapchat. It made me laugh. But I sort of feel the rhythm of it. So there's a couple of funny things. I liked Peter Drunkalich, although the lines that they gave him were not necessarily that funny. But he's very good at playing a drunk, as we know from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I liked... Peter Drunkledge's line, you know what's in my tumbler? Regret. Yeah.
Which I thought was a very poorly worded joke, because he's holding a tumbler of scotch. So I felt like they kind of muddied that up with the way they set that up. That drove me crazy. And also at one point he goes, tumbler me. And it just, again, felt like that rhythm of like the great, that when Bobby Moynihan that one time and then Netflix me. It was so funny. And now it's just a thing. But yeah, overall... fun to see.
Yep. Fun to watch. And the duet of Peter Drunkledge and Bobby Moynihan singing I Want to Know What Love Is.
Yes, that was very funny.
Still better than the duet to that song in Rock of Ages. Much better than Tom Cruise singing that song.
Yeah, you're not wrong about that.
Did you see that movie?
No, I intentionally did not see that
boy.
Movie. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's a pass. That's a pass. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I did like the two of them just go, Marco, Rubio,
yeah,
Marco, Rubio. That's the kind of thing I could see myself saying all week long.
All right. On the subject of Drunk Uncle and Bobby Moynihan, did you listen to Bobby Moynihan on Howard Stern this
Absolutely.
Week?
Yes. I actually went back on the Sirius On Demand on my iPhone, found it, and listened to the whole thing. And I was just, I was besides myself, I was so happy.
And so, yeah, Bobby Moynihan, you can watch it on YouTube. I listened to a lot of Stern on YouTube, full disclosure.
Oh, check it out. That was really, maybe not the best interview Howard Stern's ever done, but I just found it so interesting, and I really liked him a lot.
Howard's done a lot of great, like, I feel like he's very invested in the SNL personalities. Like, I feel like he really likes to go and have them on. He seems very interested in the SNL process, like, as he's... you know, as more time has gone on in his career, he seems more interested, because I feel like he asks a lot of really interesting questions about how they do the show every week.
Yep.
And so Bobby Moynihan, probably the only, you know, hour plus interview out there of Bobby Moynihan, unless he's on some podcast somewhere.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And so what were the interesting takeaways you had about Bobby Moynihan?
I mean, I like that he was giving so much credit to UCB, the Upright Citizens Brigade. His story about how he auditioned, he spent a year preparing, and then they kind of were going to put him on, and then the writer strike happened. I mean, that was just heartbreaking and interesting. And then I also really loved the story that involved John Belushi's pants. I thought that was a really interesting story.
You know what else I found that was interesting about Bobby Moynihan was that, you know, you think of like, okay, the heavy set guy on Saturday Night Live, you have the Belushi, you have Farley, but Bobby Moynihan, while physically is in that mold, he says he's not a big drinker, not into the drug scene at all. And I found I feel like usually those two things are synonymous of, you know, the heavy set guy on SNL,
living life large,
And I feel like even like in a fraternity, in a comedy troupe. Okay, the big guy, he's the drunk.
Yep.
You know, but I found that interesting to know that Bobby Moynihan is not in that mold.
Yes, yeah. A very sweet guy. And I love the fact, also atypical, but I mean, he talked about what a huge fanboy of SNL he was, like in a very like this podcast kind of way, big nerd kind of way. So I like that a lot.
Yeah. And interesting to see, this was the first time that Bobby Moynihan did Drunk Uncle after. He got the praise in the Five Timers episode of.
Yep,
Who was it? Tom Hanks?
Tom Hanks says, yeah.
Really loved Drunk Uncle.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think Howard Stern also said he was a fan of Drunk Uncle.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now, now will the hype destroy Drunk Uncle?
I think we're already on the other side.
Oh, no.
I can't tell you why, but it's just you can see it coming. A lot of the lines are just like, oh, we're just taking, it's a mashup between the topic and something that's current and trendy and mashing it together. The thing that I can't figure out comedically is you could say the same thing, the formulaicness about the Stefan sketches, and yet they still make me laugh every week. The Drunk Uncle, I just see it coming around the corner. I know where it's going.
All right, you ready to do an exercise with me?
Okay.
All right, let's do, I want to do Weekend Update correspondent power rankings.
Okay.
Current SNL correspondent power rankings. All right, so Stefan is the unquestioned number one on top of the power rankings.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, absolutely.
Biggest pop, Stefan comes out.
Yeah.
Drunk Uncle number two?
I think, yeah, on just pure popularity, clearly Drunk Uncle comes in
second. All right, Drunk Uncle is number two. Who is number three?
Let's see.
Is it Bobby Crispino?
Ooh, I love that. I was going to say, you know what? I would say that, and then maybe fourth, I would put, why am I blanking on the Bill Hader impression of James Carville?
James Carville.
I think James Carville is very, very strong.
Let's throw out the people that are in the mix, and then we'll rank the rest of it. So we got Bobby Crispino. We've got James Carville.
Yep.
Who else is in the returning update guest mix here?
We've got the two friends of a celebrity.
Oh, that's all the way at the bottom of my power.
But you know how I feel about that.
That's right there. Then, yeah. Thankfully, I think they've retired Nicholas Fane also.
Oh boy, yeah. We've got the girl who you don't want to speak to at a party.
Oh,
the Cicely
Strong. I think she's actually very high up on the power
ranking. She's for a featured player. She's got a lot of traction there.
Okay. Who else? Are we including Jacob the Bar Mitzvah boy?
I don't know if he's been around enough. I don't think he's not yet quite the regular.
What about Arianna Huffington?
Yeah, I think she's, I don't know if she makes the power ranking, but yeah, she can be on the list.
She's in the mix.
Yeah, I think she's in the mix.
Anybody else? I mean, I'm just going through some of the cast
I'm
members.
I'm thinking Jay Farrow is Sean Smith.
What about the devil?
Yeah, that's true.
He's not recurring enough?
They do. I guess they do them enough.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of Chris Christie. I guess we don't.
Oh, what about Keenan's French comedian?
Oh, Jean Valjean. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. That's a tough one. It's hard to put anyone that Keenan does in the power ranking. That seems hard for me.
I'm trying to think of who are the other. Does Sudeikis do anybody else on update?
I'm trying to think. He does the devil.
Does Jay Farrow do anybody on update?
I mean, we've seen him do
Will Stephen Smith. A. Smith.
Stephen A. Smith. That's what I was saying. I couldn't remember his name. Yeah. He's done him a few times. He's done, did he do Jay-Z, I think?
Yeah.
Nobody that overall stands out as like a big kind of like, oh, yeah, that's when Jay does that, I get excited.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of anyone else who's a big.
I'm sure the commenters are screaming right now.
That's good. I like that. I like to see who we're forgetting.
All right, so if we're going to rank the top five in the power rankings, so number three we're going to say is Bobby Crispino or a girl at the party.
Power rankings?
Yes.
I think you would go girl at the party. Yeah. Not my choice, but I think you would go girl at the party.
I wrote a Bobby Crispino joke on Twitter this week.
What was it?
I was going to try to use the hashtag of Bobby Crispino, but there's really not a big Twitter presence for Bobby Crispino jokes.
Really?
On
you think?
Twitter.
That's very surprising.
And I reworded it so it wasn't so much a Bobby Crispino joke, but I basically was saying that, hey, you know, NBC was right to fire Jay Leno if there really is a videotape of him throwing basketballs at all those writers. That was my Bobby Crispino-esque tweet of the week. Number four, we have Girl at the Party.
And, you know, you might want to move her up, and I'll tell you why. In doing the Google search, I type in weekend update. The first, you know, the auto fill in is Stefan, and then Joke Off, and then Girl at a Party.
Joke Off, when they did the...
That was this very specific thing, yeah.
Girl, all right, so we'll move
so
Girl
at a
Party.
So Girl at a Party, according to Google, gets a
She's at number three in our update power rankings. Number four, Bobby Crispino.
I think so,
And who's number five? James Carville?
I think Carville. Okay. Carville makes me laugh. I think that's very, very strong.
James Carville, there you go. And we'll keep updating the power rankings as we move along here.
Yes, I think that's fair. Definitely
yes.
fair.
All right, so keep an eye out on the update power rankings.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody, because somebody could pop, a new person could come back.
Yes.
We could have, you know, Russian meteorite girl. She has another appearance.
Yep. I would love to see her back. Or was she Spanish woman who repainted the painting of Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
That was another great bit that she did.
Right, we'll see if Kate McKinnon can make the update recurring characters.
I would love that.
Power rankings one
day. Yeah, that would be great.
All right. $1 million wheel.
Oh, boy. So, I don't know. I mean, I like the kickoff. I like when Bill Hader, as the host, is saying that the old letter-turning girl, Suzette, had to leave because of an alcohol problem. Mine! I thought that was a very good kickoff. But then, you can kind of see the sketch coming. And it was a case for me where the particular character that McCarthy was doing wasn't necessarily interesting enough to carry what was kind of a silly sketch. We kind of got it.
Do you think there's ever any conversation during the week when they write a game show parody if Bill Hader is going to be the game show host?
Yeah, I think, because recently someone else was the game show host, and it was like jarring to not see him as the game show host because he does it so well. Yeah.
Does Sudeikis get in the game show host mix?
Yes, every once in a while.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah.
So once if Sudeikis leaves at the end of the season, then Bill Hader will get
he's the lock. Yeah, I already think. I imagine when a writer is writing a game show sketch and wants to get it on the air, the first thing you do is you lock up Hader. You get Hader interested in the sketch as a little way to kind of push it forward. Yeah,
yeah. This was, I feel like, you know, just. Generic Melissa McCarthy being physical comedy, doing crazy stuff. Not really much of a joke.
Yes, I completely agree. I didn't think it was necessarily all that worthy. And again, talk about weak endings. And you're right. I'm not saying I can write it, but you know, the gag is Melissa McCarthy accidentally turns over all the letters so that you can clearly see it says, you know, your mama don't dance and your daddy don't rock and roll. Fred Armisen says, well, I'd like to solve the puzzle, and then says a stitch in time saves nine.
Yeah.
I feel like, well, I could have written that and I'm not a comedy writer. So that was a bummer. That was definitely unfortunate.
Yeah. All right, so, but then I feel like things really, really pick up, and I know you love these sketches at the back of the show, Rich.
Oh, this is how you do it. This is how you do it.
All right, and we are introduced to the character, what's her name?
Barb Kellner.
Barb Kellner.
Barb Kellner, applying for a loan for her pizza-eating company.
Yes. Now, it's interesting that you say that Melissa McCarthy was a groundling. Do you know when she was a groundling?
Well, she was a groundling at the same time as Kristen Wiig. That's how Kristen Wiig and Maya Rudolph knew her from their time together in the Groundlings.
Yeah, I feel like around the time that I had only gone to go see the Groundlings back in around the time of like 2006 or so. And now that you're saying that, I feel like you've jogged like a memory that I've forgotten. A repressed memory. I feel like I saw this sketch in the Groundlings at the Groundlings show that I went to in 2006.
That would not surprise me at all. I mean, that would make total sense to me because this was your quintessential Groundlings sketch. It's completely character-based. It's taking a premise and sort of like, you know, taking the game of an improv sketch. Okay, well, if someone had read the book, what was the do what you want to do and the money will follow, and do what you love and the money will follow. And well, what about someone who loves eating pizza? like, and they track that as a sketch. So it wouldn't surprise me. Also, a very strong sketch for late in the show. So it wouldn't surprise me if it came from the Groundlings.
Yeah. So very, very hilarious. Really love this.
Yeah.
And I thought I have to give a lot of props to Sudeikis, too, who was great.
Great straight man. Great. The timing of the two of them I thought was very funny. Every time she kept trying to hand him a pen. Like, I have a pen. And just back and forth. I thought that was very funny. So they did a really good
job. Yeah, I watched this one a second time.
Yes.
Which for me, the pantheon of the SNL sketches, this is one that I bring Nicole in and show her something.
Yes. Yes, that is how I do it. It made your cut list.
Yes,
I showed her this cut list as well.
Drunk Uncle.
Yeah.
And for the appearance of Peter Drunkledge. Nicole is a big Game of Thrones fan, which you may or may not know. And also the pizza eater.
Yes. Yes. No, this was very funny. Yeah. I thought they did a really good sketch. And the ending, the very lame, you see it coming a mile away when Fred Armisen walks in. Again, Fred Armisen landing badly this week on sketch endings.
Yeah.
To just say, it's a shame. I don't know what to do with this pizza. Like, we all see that coming. But then Melissa McCarthy coming back in slow motion and just very funny. She did a great job. She was really great. Similar to other sketches we've talked about, probably a better performance sketch than the funniest writing we've ever seen, but overall really great.
Yeah, so good job. All right, so then more Phoenix.
Yep.
I don't know.
That's when I got my second Manhattan, so I really couldn't tell you.
But on hitfix.com, it got a B+. So There you go. From Ryan McGee on hitfix.com. So they improved. A solid night for Phoenix.
Good for them. Yeah.
Okay. And then the last sketch was The Art of the Encounter.
You know what? Not my super favorite sketch, but in general, I thought it was very funny.
I don't really know if I got it.
Yeah, it was a weird, they were trying to, I didn't, at first I'm like, are you trying to make fun of 90s dating videos or dating videos in general? Sometimes we sort of see in the 1255 sketch, they're like, kind of like, this is sort of hodgepodged a lot of ideas together to see what happens.
I couldn't tell if it was supposed to be a video from the 90s or what exactly it was supposed to be, because there was no mention that this is like the following is an excerpt from the 1996 dating advice tips show. So I don't know.
Yeah, I thought it was cute, though. I mean, I liked seeing Cecily Strong and Kate McKinnon together. The haircuts made me laugh. It was generally cute. It was, you know, Melissa McCarthy was funny in what they gave her. You know, is it going to be a best of? Absolutely not. But generally speaking, I thought a nice, if we're going to end the show, a nice ending.
Yeah.
And a little quick callback for you, just because I can Google and talk at the same time. In a 2006 of the Groundlings Mystery Train show, they call out, however, the amply proportioned Melissa McCarthy scores the biggest laugh of the evening as Barb Kellner, a slack-jawed woman who is trying to drum up a bank loan for her pizza-eating business. Very, very cool. So
yes.
Rob is accurate.
I saw a piece of history.
A piece of history, yes.
Yes.
So there you go.
Very good.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, the actual Groundlings show that I went to, I just they're so long, the actual Groundlings show is like 3 hours. It's like, oh my God.
Well, you're paying like $35 a ticket.
Yeah, I guess so. You get your money's worth.
Yeah, you better get that long of a show.
So very good.
Yeah.
All right. So, Rich, what do we say for Melissa McCarthy overall SNL appearance number 2?
You know what? In retrospect, I'll give it a solid, decent, not one for the record books, but much better than my original take on it as of 1 a.m. last night.
Has Melissa McCarthy put herself into the overall power rankings of active SNL hosts? Is she in the top 10 right now?
Top 10 is hard, but yeah, I mean, I would say that she definitely deserves a strong comeback. I mean, she easily could be in that Timberlake, Alec Baldwin, Steve Martin category of this person could have been a cast member, because she literally could be a cast member.
I think she's in the top 10, but not in the top 5 of active hosts.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Who is the list, real quick?
Well, of active, I think you definitely got Timberlake number one.
Okay.
I think you got John Hamm number two. And we're going to take out alumni because that would be ridiculous to count. I think Alec Baldwin still number three.
Is Hank still in the mix?
When was the last time Hanks actually hosted the show? I mean, he appears like at least once or twice
a year.
Okay,
so we don't have to put him in the mix.
Yeah, so I don't know if he makes the mix right now.
Okay.
That's a good question. I'm trying to think.
If you consider Steve Martin still in the mix?
Is he
in the Hanks category?
I think he might be in the Hanks category. Okay. You're right. So I'm trying to think of anyone
else.
Who
are the other active hosts?
Well, once you take out the long list of alumni, you don't really have, because you have a lot of mediocre people. So maybe she does make the list. I'm gonna recant my original.
What about Zach Galifianakis? Is he in the mix?
I don't think he's in. My opinion,
McCarthy is higher than Galifianakis.
Yes, as an SNL, you know, no one's gonna do a monologue stronger than a Galifianakis or a Louis C.K. But no, I don't think. I think she's definitely gonna be overall better.
Okay,
I'm seeing if there's any other names that I see of people from the last 3 years. Paul Rudd, Jim Carrey, not a lot of big names of people who just.
What about Jonah Hill?
Top five? I don't know.
He's in the top 10, but not ahead
of
McCarthy.
Maybe. I'm trying to even see another name. You know, Lindsay Lohan, Sofia Vergara was funny.
Yeah, but she only did it once.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't see another big name here. So maybe by default she you know, there's, it's interesting again, you and I've talked this a million times, looking at the list of past hosts, it's the alumni who dominate. That's where the bigger surprise
on the power rankings. Melissa McCarthy in the top five or the girl at the party you don't want to talk to?
Oh, girl at the party.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
Biggest surprise. Okay. So, Rich, I know you also wanted to talk about, or just to close the book on Saturday Night Live, next week, Vince Vaughn?
Yes, Vince Vaughn is our host, yes.
Yes. Vince Vaughn hosted the show before?
I don't believe so, and I will tell you in one...
I feel like he's got to have a hosting...
Somewhere along the way, right? Yes, he did. He hosted in 1998.
Yes.
With Lauryn Hill. That's how long, and then he's hosting
and
again.
And what was he promoting there in 1998?
98, boy, good question. Would that even have been, was that post-Swingers? Is it that long ago?
I think so. I mean, I think he even...
Or, I mean, was it just post-Swingers? Had he done anything big?
I believe he was in, like, Jurassic Park 2, but I still think that was even before 1998.
Lost World, Jurassic Park would have been 97.
Okay.
Swingers was 96, so I wasn't too far off.
What was the other one he did after Swingers?
Made was 2001.
Okay.
He played Norman Bates in Psycho in 98. I doubt he was promoting that. Play Pigeons, Cool Dry Place, Return to Paradise.
Well, I don't know. Yeah. If he did Psycho in 1998, why couldn't he have done hosted SNL to promote Psycho?
Maybe that's what it was. I don't remember.
I think that was the first time that he was the lead in something, as opposed to Swingers is like a co-lead with
Yes. Yeah. So. Although he was really, I think, the breakout of the moment. He was the breakout star of just, you know, because he was such a big personality.
Okay. And what is he promoting now?
That's a good question. What is he promoting now? Anything coming up? He's got a couple of movies in 2013, but I don't know. None of them ring a bell to me. So
okay.
We'll find out.
Here's Vince Vaughn. I can't say I'm a particularly huge Vince Vaughn fan.
No. I mean, I like his patter. I think he... His energy, if he's well written, he could bring a good energy to the show. Interesting to be back and not having hosted in 14 years. So
Whoa.
How about that? Yeah.
He's the real Jamie Foxx.
Exactly.
All right. So Vince Vaughn hosting next week. No SNL recap next week. I'm going to be going to New York for the Reality Game Masters. We're going to be filming. But maybe if they do three in a row, we'll do a recap after the third one. So we'll see what happens after this. Okay, so, Rich, I know you also wanted to talk about, on this episode, you wanted to talk about the late-night TV landscape. Of course,
yes.
Everybody knows Jay Leno is stepping down. No, this isn't a repeat. Right. Jay Leno is going to be leaving The Tonight Show at the end of 2014.
February of 2014, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And what's the time in Olympics?
Olympics, yeah. So the Olympics will end around the 23rd of February. So the assumption is a huge promotion throughout the Olympics. And then that following week, we would all guess it would be The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon.
Boom.
So, you know, I could easily spend an hour talking about should Fallon be the host and whether they should have pushed Jay out. But that's not the purview. This is specifically Saturday Night Live. One of the most important facts that I thought came out of all of this that no one's talking about is that Lorne Michaels will be the executive producer of The Tonight Show. So how the question really for us is going to be, how does that affect Saturday Night Live? Lorne Michaels will be launching a new late night since he was the producer of Late Night with Conan O'Brien, Late Night with Jimmy Fallon. We have to assume he will be the producer of whomever takes over the new late night show. So that will be in, that will happen at pretty much the same time, and then launch The Tonight Show while be in the middle of the SNL season. So we could have a very fractured, very not paying attention Lorne Michaels the back half of season 39 for SNL.
Well, and the other aftershock of that, that could be, they're talking about Seth Meyers being moved to replace Jimmy Fallon. So
right.
You could be having a new head writer and also a it's only 24 hours in the day. Lorne Michaels is what? Is he 70 yet?
I don't know, but he's getting up there. Yeah,
he's getting up there. It looks to be in great shape, great health. But that being said, they didn't put more hours in the day.
Yep.
So we'll see exactly what the future could hold for Saturday Night Live if there's a new head writer and a more distracted Lorne Michaels.
That's why I can't see them picking Seth Meyers, because I don't know how the show would survive, how Lorne's empire could survive. New head writer, new weekend update host, anchor, and new late night and The Tonight Show. That just seems too much.
Too much. Now, they're going to do everything out of New York as well, right?
Yes, yes.
And so is Jimmy Fallon going to stay in 8H?
No, or what is it? Is it 6C, I think?
I meant in 30 Rock.
Yes, so they are building a new studio for The Tonight Show. The studio, I'm going to say 6H. I'm sure I will be corrected by somebody in the comments. But I think Late Night, so it's a 99-seat space. If you've ever seen Late Night, I never got to see Letterman there. I did get to see Conan there early on. It is unbelievably small. It is as small as, like, if you're seeing a crappy play in a bad part of town. It's a very small space. So they're going to build out a new space specifically for The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon in 30 Rock. So the whole Lorne Michaels empire will just be elevators away. He could not put his shoes on while running three important shows.
Okay. Very interesting.
And also don't forget just the fact that now Lorne Michaels is now running NBC's late night television.
Mm-hmm.
He's running, other than, I don't know if Carson Daly gets folded into the mix, but he's got the Tonight Show, Late Night, and then on the weekend, Saturday Night Live. So if this goes well, Lorne Michaels could be producing the Today Show. It is not that crazy.
Wouldn't be the worst idea right now to get Lorne Michaels
It's in
involved.
30 Rock. It's just yet another elevator ride now, and just give him everything.
Well, we're talking about the late night stuff. I mean, let's talk about everything in the mix here.
Yep.
Do you think that was a good call to have Jimmy Fallon be the new host of The Tonight Show?
Me personally?
Yes.
Absolutely not. I think it's a terrible mistake. The timing of it, I think that they should have they could have done another 5-year contract for Jay. They could have said to Fallon, I think they easily could have, they were sort of afraid that Fallon would leave. I think if they said to Fallon, 5 more years on Late Night, and then you get The Tonight Show, and if we decide to retire Jay, or Jay decides to retire before that, you're absolutely guaranteed we can't bring anyone else in. I think Fallon would have done that deal in a second. I think Fallon needs that time. I don't think he's ready to host The Tonight Show.
I mean, Jimmy Fallon only started in, 2009?
Yeah, I was just looking at that. He started in, I think that you're right, March of 2009. So it's going to be 5 years as a late night talk show host. And I understand the idea that they feel that Jimmy Fallon will, he's got the younger audience. They want to bring the younger audience to The Tonight Show. And I get that. But Jimmy personally is definitely way more accessible for older people than Conan O'Brien was. But the comedy of Late Night with Jimmy Fallon, I don't see tracking with my mom or anyone in their late 40s, early 50s, because it is so silly. So I think it's going to be a bigger challenge than they think. They couldn't bring the younger kids, but will they lose all the – will all the people my age go, you know what? Maybe I'm going to give Letterman another chance, you know, or whatever.
Did NBC learn anything after the Conan debacle from 2009?
I think not, because, you know, the big thing.
Or was that 2010?
2009,
I think Conan moved, and then 2010 was when they decided to switch back.
Yeah, well, that whole process. I mean, that whole, the way that they handled the Conan thing in the first place.
The succession,
yeah. You know, I've read a couple of things how they're saying now, like, well, this is so different than the Conan thing because Jay and Conan Jay and Jimmy Fallon are playing so nice together and there's so much love, which is everybody forgetting that that's exactly how the Conan thing started. It's Jay couldn't have been a bigger mensch about it. He retired. He didn't even say, I'm being pushed out. He said, I'm retiring, and who knows what's going to happen. So it started just like this, and then it went very badly. So we'll see.
Did you see the video this week? Was it a video, or that was actually on NBC, the singing Jimmy Fallon and Jay Leno?
They played
duet.
It in between the Tonight Show and Late Night on one night.
Did
yes.
you watch it?
I did not watch it.
Okay.
No.
You didn't see the clip?
No, I have not seen
it. I watched it, and I couldn't. I thought it was horrible.
I'm not surprised.
I thought it was horrible, and I thought that it made me like both of them less. It made me like Jimmy Fallon less, too.
I'm
not a Jay Leno fan, but I like, you know, Jimmy Fallon. Just, it made him seem like a real, like, suck-up.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, they're clearly going to suck up to the Tonight Show audience in a big way. They do not want to lose him again. When Conan came, they all left, and... I don't know why you push out the guy who's the number one late night talk show host on television right now.
Jimmy Fallon is like, you know, he's like calling up Jay Leno on the phone. He's like, hey, Jay, you know, does it bother you that, you know, all this stuff? Because, I mean, like, we're still friends, right? And he's like, oh, yeah, sure, Jimmy. Yeah, we're still friends. And they start and they're singing like, who's going to host tonight? Like the whole big thing. And I just really did not care for it at all.
Yeah.
And it wasn't funny.
Well, Jay's involved. So I defend Jay from the business perspective. I think Jay got a really bad rap during the Conan debacle, which was of Conan's making, not Jay's and all that stuff. But I don't find him funny.
How does something that video come to be? Does somebody at NBC says, hey, we should make a video with you guys? Does somebody with Jimmy Fallon's people say, hey, can we make a video? Or does somebody with Jay Leno's people say?
I would guess that it came from NBC. I think from the very beginning, there had to be a huge, we want to do this. How do we not have the PR nightmare that we had last time?
Or on the Today Show.
Yeah. So I think this was very much calculated from the very top level of, we need to show that this is a smooth transition. It's not going to be Conan all over again, you know. And I know even Jay, not only did he do this, and he actually, you know, came out and said, "Oh, I'm this is so much better. I was a part of this decision. I'm happy to hand over the show." Anyone who's dumb enough to think that Jay Leno wants this to happen really shouldn't even be reading anymore, because there's no way that Jay wants to be pushed out. This is his love. He would do this for another 20 years if they let him. Mm-hmm. So
I mean,
there's
the
no
guy,
question.
If we wanted to tonight, we're recording this on a Sunday. We could go watch Jay Leno do stand-up comedy tonight in Hermosa.
Yes.
And he does it every – he's he has to
I've
do
seen
stand-up
him.
Comedy. Yeah.
I've seen him. I mean, and it's fun. He's a good – I mean, he workshops the jokes for the Tonight Show monologue on Sunday nights.
And he doesn't have to do that.
No. Yeah. He loves it. And then he does stand-up. Then he just does stuff. It's actually quite fun.
Yeah. And what about this for NBC? How about Jay Leno at 12:30?
That's not a bad idea.
It's like, all right, Jay, you can still do your
show. You can still show up, yeah.
Or my other option, how about Ann Curry at 12:30? Can we get that?
I like that. Maybe give her the Carson Daly slot.
Oh.
That would be nice.
You know, for all those Ann Curry complainers out there.
Yeah, exactly. Then they could watch. They could TiVo it and watch it in the morning.
And I was not a big Ann Curry fan. I always thought she was a stick in the mud.
That's what I've heard from my wife, who is an expert, as much as I'm an expert on late night and comedy, she's an expert on morning news. Ann Curry loved her doing the hard news. When she moved to be an anchor, it never worked. Everybody knew it never worked. And people who are mad at that are not mad that Ann Curry left. They're mad at how she was supposedly treated because nobody really liked her in that role.
Sure, she's a nice person, though. She was a little cold on the screen.
That's what I'm
told. Didn't like her.
Yeah.
So now there's also been rumors about Howard Stern potentially going to the 12:30 spot. Do you buy that at all?
I would bet my car that came from the Howard Stern camp.
Yeah.
The way that, even though he then went on the air to vehemently deny and mock how silly that idea was, in reading the actual story, it was very clear that it came from a Stern Show lifer. So I don't think that there's a chance at all that Howard's being considered for
12:30. Would that potentially even be a good idea, Stern at 12:30?
No. And I still listen to Howard every day, and by every day I mean two or three times a week, depending
on every day that they do a show.
Exactly. And then hear the same show played back 45 times for the other 5 days a week. I still love Howard. He's as good as his interview with Louis C.K. this week was fantastic.
I didn't even get to that.
But at 12:30 would be a terrible. I think Howard knows that. I mean, his audience has grown with him. His audience has not. He doesn't have any listeners under 35. Nobody who was not already listening when he was on terrestrial radio is now listening to him on Sirius. So his audience is aging out. He'd never be the right fit for late night.
What's the story with Letterman right now? Did Letterman announce he's retiring?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I didn't think he is. I know there's a concern. I may not be current, but I don't remember reading that. No. I know that they are now looking at, he's been doing this for so long. You know, the big question is Craig Ferguson really going to be even considered for the 11:35 slot, even though he's more than holding his own at 12:35?
Yeah.
I think no.
Is Letterman rejuvenized by any of this?
I can't sit through Letterman at all. And there was no bigger fan of David Letterman in the 80s, 90s, and the first few years of Late Show with David Letterman. And I find it unwatchable. So I don't even know what Re-Energized would look like.
How does CBS avoid this same NBC predicament at the point when Letterman is going to either A, want to hang it up? And do you think Letterman will want to retire on his own? Or
yes.
Do you think he will say, he's not going to be like Jay Leno where he wants to do the show until he's 100?
No, I think at a certain point, Dave, we'll never know that day. It wouldn't surprise me if it was just literally one day Dave's like, you know what, I'm kind of done. Or thinking about, you know what, the day my contract ends, I'm not coming back. But so it wouldn't surprise me. I think CBS at this point would back up the Brinks truck to keep him. So I don't think there's any question about younger demo and aging out and succession plan. I think they just want to keep Dave as long as they can, especially with Jay Leno retiring. This could be a real lock for them, for that older 11:30 audience. So,
and Jimmy Kimmel, the big winner in all of this?
Big winner in all this. And he's doing really well. And as my wife said, my wife watches Jimmy every night. She's like, you know what? He's really earned it. You look at the first year of that show and you look at this year, and he's grown so much, and he could be the big player in 10 years of the guy who really figured out the right sweet spot of older audience, younger audience, celebrities. So we'll see.
All right. Anything else that we didn't cover? Sort of a broad state of late. Oh, one last thing. Conan.
Yeah.
Does Conan, all this chaos at NBC, is this make Conan that he made the right decision to leave and go to TBS, or is it the wrong decision considering had he, you know, stayed at NBC when they initially offered him that deal of, hey, go to 12 o'clock, we'll have on Leno for a couple more years,
right,
and then you'll take over The Tonight Show, and then Leno would be gone. He may have earned an audience instead of, from what I can tell, mostly irrelevant on TBS.
Yeah.
What do you think? Did, you know, hindsight 2020?
Hindsight 2020, my opinion is he absolutely made the right choice. I think if he had gone back to 12, that the takeaway would have been that Conan failed at the Tonight Show. No matter what, no one will remember all the other extenuating circumstances, the Jay Leno show every night at 10. The stink would have been on him as he was a failure. And NBC, no matter who was the network president at the time, would never give him the Tonight Show back. I think it would have just been failure, pushed back, and eventually he would have ended up on a TBS or a Fox or something. So he probably made the right call. I think he's doing his show to a fairly low-rated audience. I think he's more than happy with the audience he has. I think TBS is very happy with the size of the audience, given that they came from nowhere and they have nothing. So I think he made the right call, even though I don't think I've seen one episode of the TBS show.
Yeah. Okay. All right, good stuff, Rich. Yep. A lot to talk about here. Oh, yeah. Week only one SNL.
Yep, but the SNL happenings all over the place.
All right, now next week, no podcast, but will you write up a recap about it on your blog?
Therich-fix.com? Yes, I'll give that and a sketch of the week. We'll pick a sketch of the week and go from there.
Will you put out the link on Twitter? Can people just follow you
Yes.
Just follow at Rich Tack on Twitter if you want to hear what Rich has to say about SNL next week while I'm going to be in New York for the Reality Game Masters.
Love it. Sounds good.
All right. Good stuff. All right. So lots of stuff coming up tonight. It's going to be a crazy Sunday night here for me.
Whew, me too.
Yes. We have, you know, usually I have the Celebrity Apprentice and the Amazing Race on Sunday night, but this week CMAs, so no Amazing Race.
Okay.
So I get a break there.
But.
And only a 1 hour Celebrity Apprentice. So it's a rare Sunday night for me with only 1 hour of reality TV when there's normally three.
Right.
But on the other side of the ledger.
Yep.
Is Game of Thrones and a 2 hour Mad Men premiere. A
lot of TV to watch.
Oh boy.
Yes.
Oh boy. All right. So
this is how life should be.
This is how life should be. So I've got it all worked out with I'm watching East Coast feeds of some things and West Coast feeds of some other things. So it's going to be a crazy Sunday night.
Love it.
All right. So I think that's going to do it for this show. Got a lot of podcasts coming this week. Reality Rally interviews. We've got our Celebrity Apprentice recap. A million things coming this week. So just keep checking out robhasthewebsite.com. Follow me on Twitter at @RobSesternino. You won't miss anything. And we'll be back with more podcasts before you know it. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.